glory. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor touch it, lest you what? Die. Well, you die with a curse. Curse brings death. Okay, so what are you saying? Look at it. If you're willing to submit, here it is. Everything's available for you. But if you choose to disobey and begin to partake of this tree, you're going to die. Amen? Has everybody got it? Lest you die from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is good and evil. There's a tree of life, which is righteousness, and there's the tree of good and evil, which is self-justification. One is justification by God, one is justification by self. Let's go a little further. In verse 11. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Obviously, they ate from the tree, didn't they? They did a self-justification. Then the man said to the woman, "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Of course, everybody begins to blame one another. Nobody taking their own responsibility. So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed." You are what? Cursed. That's why snakes are cursed. They're the most cursed beasts on the planet. Snakes are cursed. They carry demonic forces and demons. They are hosts. "And because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust." So obviously the serpent at that time was upright. "And I'll put enmity," which means hatred, "between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." And that's, of course, associated with the crucifixion. "And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bear forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Curse is the ground for your sake. And toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And then Adam called his wife name Eve because she was the mother of the living. Now I want to share something with you which is really essential to grab hold of. God, who is the giver of life, amen, his attribute is life. The word life means existence. It's existence. Everything that is here that's existed is because God allowed it to come. God's attribute is to bring existence. When Moses, when God called Moses, Moses said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am that I am." Why? I am the existence that brings existence. I am the life that brings life. And without me, there is no existence. And the Lord warned Adam and Eve. He said, "Look, I brought you in. I have formed you in my image and likeness that you may exist. So I've given you life." Now, if you choose to go your own way and not be under my covering and guidance, you're going to bring a curse on this life. You're going to bring a curse on this existence. That's why Eve is known as the mother of the living, because he's expressed called living now as associating with existence. So she was the mother of existence because no one could come into this realm without going through a womb. Is everybody with me? So now she was known as the mother of existence, or what we call the mother of the living. But it did not stop the curse. So everyone is going to die one way or another. Unless you're here with the rapture, but you're still going to die, but you're going to be alive and die. Hallelujah. So what we want to, so there was the life, again, is expressed as existence. So there was the blessing of life before the fall. Now there's the curse of life. So there's now a curse of existence. Is everybody with me? Go to Psalm 51. The curse of life. So you thought things were going to be hunky-dory. And you things were going to just be wonderful when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, the curse of life is still there. In Psalm 51 and verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's speak verse 5 together. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. The word iniquity means curse. So in other words, he was born in a curse. Has everybody got it? Everyone born in this realm was born with a curse. They are born with the curse of life. He says, I was brought forth in a curse. And in sin, my mother conceived me. So in other words, sin represents presence of evil. So in other words, you and I were conceived in the image and likeness. Hold your seats now. Of Satan's character, of rebellion. We were rebellious children. We were born in darkness. That's why people can't see. They can't see spiritually until they're born again. So you and I were conceived in evil. In darkness. Is everybody with me? And we were brought forth into this realm with a curse. The curse of life. Conceived in the sin, born in a curse, the curse of life, and of course, with curse, there is death. That's why everyone must die, because the curse of life is a result of death. Amen? Now, this death we talk about is the separation from the eternal light of life. That's what death is. When you die under the curse, you are separated from the eternal light. Once you give up your last breath, if you are living the life of darkness and you give up your last breath, you are eternally separated from God, the eternal light of life. Because one is a life of curse, one is a blessing of life. The curse of life or the blessing of life no longer exist in light anymore. You can no longer exist in the light. So there is the curse of life and there's the blessing of life. Adam and Eve were created in the blessing of life. When they fell, the curse of life came forth. That's why Jesus came, didn't he? Amen? Go to John chapter 3. In verse 16. You know, I hear the scripture quoted all the time, but nobody ever finishes it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes," the word believe means to follow, "in him should not perish but have everlasting life." In other words, even though that there's the curse of life, because the curse of life is still in your flesh, it's going to die. But there's another blessing of life that's in the spirit, which will live forever. In verse 17, For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be rescued, saved from eternal separation. And he who believes or follows in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe or follow is condemned already because he has not followed or believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why? Because they were born in darkness. They were conceived in darkness, weren't they? So the curse of life was upon every single one brought forth into this world. Every child. Everyone. But thank God there's an age of accountability. You are not judged until you give up your last breath, whether your name stays in the book of life or removed. In verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light. You know, you and I used to hate the light. And does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So remember, Jesus came. We'll talk a little bit about this in a minute. But Jesus came to make the exchange. He removed the curse of death, hell, and the grave in the area so that you and I could receive eternal life. But those who follow him, because there's still the curse of life. Now I want to share something with you because I had a vision. And in this vision I was standing. And there was something that was going on. And it was all around the world. And I began to see the world and its darkness. And how many individuals do not know truth. And I began to see how many people who knew truth and chose not to follow. And all of a sudden I saw floating next to me, I mean, it was, I can't explain it, but it was like a, almost like a puddle of water that was floating. And the Lord put my hand underneath it. And as I put my hand underneath this floating water, he said, that's the curse of life. I said, what do you mean that's a curse? He said, that's how close it is to you. See, you can choose to grab hold of the curse of life anytime you want. It is still right there, that close to us. The curse of life is right there. Even though you've been under the blessing of life, you can instantly turn right to the curse of life because he will not interfere with your free will. And I began to hold this, and they began to show me how many people who were believers who are still holding the curse of life now. And they're going around proclaiming Jesus, but they're still holding the curse of life, not even knowing it, because of what they're practicing. Or what they're not practicing. I thought, well, he said, that's the curse of life. It is that close to you. I thought, wow, this is incredible. He said, that's why there's going to be a tremendous battle. See, because the curse of life are the sons of darkness, and the blessing of life are the sons of light. And that's what's arising right now. The curse, the sons of darkness, and the sons of light that are battling right now. There's a tremendous battle going on. And it's going to excel even greater. And that's what the world is about. The world was brought with blessing, and it turned into a curse. That's why the Bible tells us that it's corrupted. That's why even the earth and all creation, because everything's under the curse now, is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Those are the sons of light to battle for them. See, you and I were sent into this world on a military mission, not in some foolish, soulish thing. You weren't sent into this world to build your empire. You were sent into this world on a military mission to build his empire. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Oh, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28. in verse 1. Let's speak it together, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Again, so many people think that, well, this is just Old Testament. No, God's not changed. He says, if you'll obey my voice, in other words, my voice, when he speaks, it becomes law. Those are his commands. Even in the New Testament, it talks about how God spoke through his spirit to man to do this and do that and so forth. And not only that, the spirit that's within us is directing us if we're listening. He said that you would be blessed. Amen? Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. That's the curse of life again. Curse you shall be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Why do you think this country is getting messed up now? Why? Because of the rulers and so forth are living a life, the curse of life. They serve darkness. So this country is tremendously divided. Verse 17, cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Look what's going on right now. Look at how many disasters we're having of droughts. Look at how many disasters we're having of floods. Look how many disasters of earthquakes, wars, fires, tornadoes. All of these are excelled tremendously. Because of what? A curse on this country now. Curse you shall be when you come in, and curse shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send you, will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. That hasn't changed. That's not changed. When we turn our back on him and turn to the world, we bring a curse on ourselves. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scourging, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze. In other words, shut. And the earth which is under you shall be iron, which is associated with judgment. Now listen, he's talking to us whether we want to live under the blessing of life or the curse of life. This is why things are happening right now in this country. That's why the Bible says, if my people humble themselves and repent and turn from their iniquities, from their sins, from their transgressions, then I will heal the land. But there's not enough repentance. People are still doing self-justification and why they do what they do instead of repenting. Because the pride of curse is still existing. In John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The curse of life. Remember, the curse of life is right next to you. The Bible tells us, and those who practice such things, what's that? Fornication, lying, stealing, cheating, murder, drunkenness, and all those things that are associated with the presence of darkness, the presence of evil known as sin, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because if you are cursed, you cannot inherit what's blessing. And he says, those things that I've given you, that I've blessed you with, if you choose to turn away from me, those things that I blessed you with will now become a curse. That's why many people have turned from the Lord, because God blessed them with work, God blessed them with money, God blessed them with this and so forth, because they were walking right. And then they began to justify in self-justification, to utilize these things for selfish gains. Now those things become a curse. Now they're fighting to try to maintain them, because what's cursed, man has to maintain. What's blessed, God does. In John chapter 1 and verse 1. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. John 1 and verse 1. Let's speak this together, please. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. In other words, all things were made, were existence, because He's life. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. Life is existence. And the life was the light of men. It kind of blows me away with some of these goofy scientist dudes and people who don't, atheists. Well, yes, we were formed from some plasma. Okay, then if that plasma was existed, where did that come from? Because somebody had to bring it in to exist. And it only couldn't come from the one who is the exister. Amen? See, but they have self-justification. They can't even comprehend it. They can't go beyond because they're so demonized. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness cannot comprehend light. Doesn't get it. That's why you and I used to run from the light when we were under the curse of life. We used to run from it. And if you're proclaiming to be a believer and you're still running from the light and running to darkness, you're cursed. Because you're trying to get comprehension from darkness, because light is not comprehended by darkness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man was for a witness to bear the witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which God would give light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. You know, they didn't know Jesus, even though they read about when he came. They still didn't know who he was. But those who were truly repentant and turned from their ways knew who he was. But those who did not repent because they were self-justifying, thinking that they were okay, I'm good, I don't sin. You know, we sin every day. They could not see because they could not comprehend light, because darkness can't comprehend light. Again, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, because they could not comprehend light, because they were in darkness. There was not a repentant life. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. In other words, he gave them the right to live in life, in the light. They were now children of light. They were removed from the curse of life, even though it's still here and exists, under the blessing of life. But as many as received him, them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. They followed him. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of the Spirit. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Grace is not something mystical. It is the plan of God that we are to follow. This is why it's called the age of grace. It's the age of God's plan so that you and I can escape darkness into light. It's not some mystical thing. Oh, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I'm saved under grace. Well, you better start getting under grace, because grace is the plan of God for you to escape. If you're not in His plan, then you're in your plan and you're not under grace. It says, full of grace and truth. Why? Because practicing the truth sets you free. You may know the truth, but if you don't practice it, you're not going to be free. Because what you practice is who you serve, and who you serve when you die is where you go. Jesus came to remove the curse. Let's grab hold of this. The curse of life, or the curse of existence, from those, now the existence of existence in darkness. Has everybody got it? In other words, there's an exchange being made now, isn't there? Only to those who obeyed and follow Him. But the curse of existence, or the curse of life, is still here, willing to live under the curse of the serpent. Remember, the Lord said, and to the serpent He said, you are cursed amongst all. Thank God Jesus came into the world and became the curse for us on the cross. So those who are in Christ, following Christ, living in Christ, abiding in Christ, obeying Christ, are no longer living under the curse of life, but the blessing of life. And they have been removed. There's been the exchange. So now their existence is in light, while the world's existence is still in darkness. That's why so many times you speak to someone about the Lord, and they're like, I don't want to know anything. Don't speak to me about God. Because they can't comprehend. But I'm telling you that the curse of life is right here for every believer to grab hold of at any time. In Ephesians chapter 2. That's why it's important to abide in His presence, His word and prayer and fellowship, so that you can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not your own. I get a lot of people tell me, oh, I can do it. I don't need to go to fellowship. I don't need to do this. Well, they're in darkness, because that's against God's word. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody okay? Let's speak this together. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. In other words, they were under the curse of life. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. By the plan of God you've been saved. And raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. So again, you and I were known as children of wrath. We are children of darkness, separated from the existence of life or light. And now we're seeing the tremendous fight between the sons of light and the sons of darkness. The sons of light, and it's going to get exceedingly more and more battles, more and more difficult. And God is going to allow this so that we get closer and closer to him. Even the word says in Psalms 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Why? Because the cross overshadows you. The powers of darkness see the cross overshadow you. But if you're still living in the past, beyond the cross, before you came to the cross, then there is no shadow. If you're still living the life before the cross, there's no shadow over you. And the demons will eat you up. They'll use you, steal from you to feed their own kingdom. The war between the children of light and the children of darkness continues. And the curse of life still lives. We must look at ourselves and acknowledge, are we still trying to prove our existence? If you're still trying to prove your existence, you're out of order. Why? You don't have to prove your existence. Because if you're under the one who created you in existence, it's already proven. See, you don't have to prove you no more. You don't have to fight for whether you're right or wrong. See, because when you begin to fight for you instead of for him, you're out of order. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 11. Stop fighting for your life. Stop fighting for your existence. That's why Paul said something powerful. Lord, put me into a place where it's no longer I that live, but you that live. In other words, let your existed life in me express itself, and no longer my curse of life express itself. That's why we're seeing all kinds. I mean, it's amazing and how these politicians and so, man, they'll just get up there and lie to you. This president's been lying to this people for so long, it's incredible. And many of the people are blinded. They can't even discern the lie. Well, you're a pastor and you're politics. No, I'm a pastor and I decree the truth and I expose darkness. That's what it's about. I don't give a hoot in politics. But I come from a political arena called the kingdom of God. And the ruler of that kingdom is named Jesus Christ. And I'm a part of that kingdom. And there's no voting in that kingdom. You are predestined and chosen for that kingdom. You have given the ability to walk in the blessing of life and in the light and express Christ Jesus. I no longer serve darkness. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. In other words, he's saying there are people that are coming up that are deceivers, proclaiming to be like we are. And I'm going to cut them off. I'm going to expose them. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And we're seeing it all over. You know how many people are going on TV telling them, hey, I'm a Christian. Yes, but I promote same-sex marriage. I promote abortion. That is not a Christian. That is a son of darkness, not a son of light. And no wonder, he says, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Whoa. Why? Because he's talking about all the doctrines that have New Age stuff. See, there's that mixture of light and darkness which promotes gray. And there's no gray in God. He takes some of the scriptures and twists them. He'll put a little truth with deception in his recipes of doctrine. Amen. To become men pleasers instead of a God pleaser. The pleaser of self instead of pleaser of God. The place which promotes self instead of deny self. Self is always first. That's a curse of life. The blessing of life is always him first. Kingdom first, kingdom first, kingdom first. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If any otherwise, lest receive me a fool, that I also may boast a little. Satan deceives people with words of light mixed with darkness. So now we have churches that promote same-sex marriage. And they say it's not in the Word of God. I don't know what part they're reading. Maybe they even tore out the pages. But it says no homosexual or sodomite will enter the kingdom of God. But it isn't the person, it's the spirit that makes them do that. See, but they can't see beyond the natural. They can only see in the natural. So people are going, well, you're judging that person. No, I'm judging their fruit. Because their fruit is going to expose whether they're entering the kingdom or not. And I don't hang around with stinky fruit. And neither should you. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. But expose them. Don't promote them. And what you approve of what you promote, you'll be judged the same way. 1 John chapter 3. Glory! Curse of life. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 8, somewhere around there. Oh, yeah. Oh, verse 7. Is everybody there? 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Let's speak it. Little children, let no one what? Deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, remove the people from the curse of life to the blessing of life. In this verse 10, verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not associate with darkness. For his seed remains in him and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So in this, we are to discern those who are the children of darkness and those who are the children of light. I don't care what they say. Again, if you're living the same way before the cross, you're under the curse. If you're living from the cross, the shadow overshadows you of the cross. And you're living a new life. That means you're living from the future, not from the past. If we're living from the future to the present, we're blessed. See, that's why people react, because they're reacting according to before the cross. We respond now according to the new man, which is living from the future. In Ephesians chapter 5. You are going to see more and more escalation of ungodliness. It'll be, even the word tells us that it'll be like the days of Noah, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where people will call good evil and evil good. Righteousness will be associated with self-righteous. And they will condemn you. They will persecute you because you're the light. Why? Because darkness cannot comprehend light. Ephesians 5. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Verse 7. Therefore, do not be what? Partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In other words, you know what pleases him and displeases him. You know it. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose it, because you're a child of light, not of darkness. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead. And Christ will give you light or existence in the light. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. Is everybody there? Hebrews 2. In verse 10. For it was fitting for him, Jesus, for whom all things and by whom all things are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain over their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham, which we are. Does everybody see this? In other words, as you and I have been rescued from the curse of life, which is death, eternal separation, the existence in the light, separated from the existence in the light, Christ paid the price for me and you. In other words, the power was granted to Satan to promote death because he is the father of all sins. He is the presence of evil. His kingdom is the presence of evil. And those who serve him will die. He doesn't come to me and you and say, hi, I'm the devil. I'm going to have you serve me today. Well, there was a song written about him by the Rolling Stones. It said, guess my name. But we know his name. The Prince of Darkness. The ruler of deception, the father of all lies. He is death himself. And his kingdom is the kingdom of death. That means existence from light. The curse of life. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We must be prepared, awakened, and aware of the things that are happening right now in the world. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, this is a faithful saying, if a man or a woman desires the position of a servant, what they call a bishop, he desires a good thing. They must be blameless, a husband of one wife. This doesn't mean that you can have multiple wives or multiple husbands. That's not biblical. Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, that's your temple first. If you can't rule this temple, how can you rule the house? One who rules his own house, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Why? Because pride promotes self. It's a protector of self. Pride, P-R-I-D-E, personal reverence into a deadly end. Pride. It's under the curse of life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, He'll be a vessel for honor. In other words, if anyone cleanses himself from living before the cross. So even if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you're still living the same way you lived before the cross, you must cleanse yourself and bring yourself after the cross, because you've come from the cross through the blood of Christ. Has everybody got it? Where now you're living the blessing of life. Anything before it is the curse of life. But even if you've come after the cross and you've accepted Jesus, if you're still living associated with before the cross, then you're still living into the curse of life. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, stop fellowshipping with those who fellowship with darkness. Bad company corrupts good habits. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, must not argue, must not slander, must not be quick to judge another person without judging yourself first. But be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. It's amazing how people want to correct someone else when they're not right. If God will perhaps grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. These are believers he's talking about. These letters are written to believers, not unbelievers. Amen? 1 Peter 5. A couple more scriptures. We want a good impartation today in preparation for what's ahead and what's happening right now. Come out from among them, including yourself. Come out from among yourself. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, look at this, verse 6. Everyone read this with me. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, that you may receive the promise. But you got to stay humble. Quit fighting for your existence. You're now fighting for his existence in this realm. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, in other words, you're going to learn through your sufferings, he's going to perfect you. He will establish you, he'll strengthen you, and settle you so you won't be moved again. Amen? So that you will not be what? Moved again. Philippians chapter 2. But if you're not abiding, you're easily moved. If you're still fighting for your existence, you're easily moved. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Let's speak it together. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. And I'm going to close at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Or chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is everybody there? Understand that the impartation today was to awaken and be alert and be ready, knowing that the curse of life is right there. Right there. You can grab it anytime. God will not interfere with your free will. And it's being offered to you wherever you go today. Here, take this. Here, take this. It'll feel good. Here, take this. Here, take this. But it really doesn't feel good. Its end result is always torment, fear, and death. In verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of the what? Night. Nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." In other words, remind one another what's happening, where you are. You know, God is taking people home. People are dying. He's taking people home. They're dying of sicknesses. They're dying in all sorts of ways. Some of them he's taking home because he knows they won't make it. Some will proclaim are going to make it. He's letting them run their own course. But the course will run regardless of what. Everything is predestined to run. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And when he says it's over, it's over. And those who die under the curse of life, their name will be blotted out of the book of life. And those who die under the blessing of life will inherit eternal life. Their existence will maintain in the existence of light. The other's existence will exist in darkness, separated. This is a reality. This is a truth. We have been called and chosen to declare the light. But first you must be filled with light. Because you can't give what you don't have. So let's stay filled. Let's abide. Let's judge ourselves. And let's put a guard over our minds, our eyes and ears and hearts and mouth. Amen. And let no corrupt thing proceed. But let the righteousness of God and the love of God flow through you. Forgive. Forgive, let go, and go forward. Because unforgiveness and anger is from the past. If you're still holding unforgiveness and anger and false sorrows of what was, then you're living in the past. And you're living before the cross. Live your life after the cross and live from the future. And if you stay in that condition, you'll awaken in the future. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed be protected by the blood of Christ and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. Let this day begin a new day, a new way in Christ Jesus, with the reality of the curse of life and the blessing of life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.